coming in to join us now. He's a star of the leadoff show, and that is Adam Copeland. Adam, good morning.
Marty, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. For the last one, this is it. Come on. Your quick thoughts here, and then we'll take you over to our next segment. But your thoughts coming in today.
Well, you were just saying the Giants sort of painted themselves into a corner where they've still got to win, and they need some help. So, you know, who knew we'd be here? You know, one to play, you need some help. Your scoreboard watching, you got an opportunity to get in, maybe a little drama today. You'll get a nine-inning ball game. Drew Smyly on the hill. I'm in. Could be fun. Could be fun.
Well, I think one of the biggest things, Adam, is what the Giants are going up against, a Padre team that's already in the playoffs. You might see some of these stars get one at bat and go to the bench. They don't want to have any injuries. I think that's the advantage the Giants have. But, of course, scoring first and adding on here in these runs will take a lot of pressure off of them.
Well, they didn't do that yesterday. You know, Johnny Cueto, I thought, ultimately pitched pretty well, went deep into the ballgame, saved the bullpen a little bit. He gave you an opportunity, but that's what happens. I mean, we discussed this a little bit with the Padres lineup yesterday, and that they can hit up and down, and even when the stars aren't in there, they put together good at-bats. This is a team that can put up runs at an alarming rate, the San Diego Padres. It's why they've been calling them Slam Diego all season. Yeah. You see the talent from a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr., who got fooled in his first at-bat against Johnny Cueto, and he can immediately make that adjustment for his second at-bat. He hits a hanging curveball or a hanging slide or whatever it was for a home run. So you're right. You're going to have to score runs today, and I wouldn't count them out just because the starters for them aren't going to be in there the whole time. This team is good. It's a good, good playoff baseball team.
Yeah, and this one to me looks like a piggyback of Smyly, who I expect a good game from him today. I really do. He's been terrific. And then turn it over to Gausman and let Gausman do a Bumgarner. Mm-hmm. And if he's got that 96 and the good changeup and he feels good, don't mess around with the bullpen. Let Gausman take it the rest of the way. This is going to be a good test for Gabe Kapler to restrain himself from using too much of the analytics.
Well, you got to fire your best guys today, and those are your two best guys, the two best arms on the pitching staff probably right now, and maybe for the majority of this season. I think the fact that Smyly came back healthier and maybe throwing the ball better than he was when he went on the IL, and that Kevin Gausman actually was not injured in the way we were hoping he was not with that elbow inflammation or the elbow tightness a couple of weeks ago. But I'm with you. I mean, you got to fire your best guys here, and you can't worry about Wednesday or tomorrow until you win today's ball game. You win today's game, you give yourself a shot, and I think you can do it behind Gausman and Smyly.
Yep, I like it. All right, stay with us, Adam. We've got another segment coming up on our pregame, and it's going to be an interesting day of baseball. I like this idea. I'll ask Adam about it, of all the games starting at 12:05. Makes it very interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.
All right, welcome back to the KNBR pregame show. Marty Lurie, Bill Lasky, joined with Adam Copeland. Adam, yesterday the Willie Mack Award was presented to Mikey Yastrzemski at a very high award for Giants players. It's voted by the players. It's voted by the coaches, the training staff, and Giant fans. What did you think of this selection? And tell me your thoughts on the year Mike Yastrzemski has had.
Well, I said yesterday, I think he's obviously, I mean, on paper and in the lineup, he's the glue of the team, right? You need him at the top of the lineup. You love what he does defensively. They were showing that highlight package last night after they gave him the award, and I'd forgotten about the catch he made in the Tyler Anderson complete game shutout against Arizona, where he goes up against the wall and he bangs up against the fence, and what's maybe the hardest right field in baseball to play. The story of him is great. The fact that his grandfather's a Hall of Famer, that he'd spent, you know, how many ever years it was, 7 years in the minors or something. And he talked yesterday almost a little emotionally about how he might have hung it up, how he was discussing maybe this thing wasn't going to happen for me and it wasn't going to click. And then, I don't think it can be overstated how much a change of scenery or a different situation can do something for a professional athlete. Sometimes guys just need to get put in the right role. Obviously things are clicking for him, but as far as the Willie Mack Award is concerned, like, it's an award I always felt weird about, and I think it's only been the last few years that fans have been allowed to vote, because it's a team award, right? It's based on the way guys impact their teammates, and how in baseball you've got to have these clubhouse guys who you're with every single day for 10 and 12 hours a day, and when you go on road trips even longer than that for 6 months or 7 or 8 months a year, going from spring training through the postseason. So it's so important to have guys like this, and I think it's fantastic that the Giants honor a player like this every year. And if you look at the guys who have been honored, it's no surprise that the organization has had so many fantastic representatives of the team, guys who are still tied to the organization. They were showing a picture yesterday. I saw Jack Clark was out there, old photos with Mark Gardner out there and with Kruk out there. It's in my opinion, one of the most hallowed awards in Bay Area sports, if not the most, because it's voted on by your teammates. And it's fun when the fans get a taste of who that guy is. And I think we've gotten that with Mike Yastrzemski. I think that's why even fans could feel that maybe he was the guy that was going to take it, because you knew that when he plays, it's almost like you know who the guy is. And when he talks, it feels like you know who the guy is. So no surprise, and I think everybody's thrilled that he's the guy who got the award this year.
Well, you know, if things break correctly, we could have Giants-Dodgers starting on Wednesday with the Giants an overwhelmingly large underdog. And then you look at the history of these two teams in the playoffs. We know what happened in 51 and 62, and here we are 60 years later almost. But it could be a fascinating week coming up.
Well, it's funny. I looked at that this week, Marty, and I was thinking, boy, 51 and then 62. And the Giants, of course, win both of those three-game series as tie breaks at the end of the season. And if you ask Mike Kruko about that, when a guy's like 0-for-3 against you, you go, you own him. But if he's a Giant, then he's due, right? So I'm stuck in between this. Are the Dodgers due, or do the Giants own them when it comes to postseason play? I'm in for it. I would love a three-game series. I think everybody would love to see the Dodgers if the Giants were to get in. That said, if you end up playing the Atlanta Braves, maybe you get some Pablo Sandoval, right? Maybe Pablo was added to the roster today, and he's playing third base for the Braves. So I think it could be a lot of fun, especially in a year like this. It's not the traditional season where you've grinded to the end here. The Dodgers feel like they should be winning even in a short season. Clayton Kershaw had the year he was supposed to have. Walker Buehler's a little banged up. But, you know, this is a juggernaut of a team. They've invested in Mookie Betts. They expect to win championships. And if the annoying Giants could come in and be a thorn in their side, at least for a three-game set, I think that'd be a lot of fun. You'd be playing with house money.
Adam, Brandon Belt has had a solid year this year. He got his 500th RBI, got his 1,000th hit. He's going to hit over 300 as he's hitting 315 right now, 30 RBIs, 9 home runs. What do you think of Brandon Belt this year? Did he come to the eyes of the Giant fans and finally say, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Because all these expectations every year always fell short with Brandon.
Well, it was a house money year for him too, I think, because obviously he's had the best little short stretch we've seen, and because it's only a 60-game season, it seems like it's maybe extrapolated in our minds bigger that Brandon Belt's had a huge year, and he has. He's been a huge part of the reason this team is even competing on the last day of the season. I don't know how fans feel about him entirely. I don't know if they write it off and they say, well, it was just a partial season and he's overpaid and he's not the power hitting first baseman we need him to be. I think he's going to be a huge part of this lineup next year. I think there are a few guys in the organization, and I'm not just talking on the field. I'm thinking about Kapler and Farhan and Scott Harris and these guys who in a short season now have maybe built up a little equity going into next year. And even if the team is not ready to jump off the page at you or go win a championship next year, I think that what this season has done, at least from the competitive nature side, and I said this a little bit to you guys yesterday about the young players getting work in high leverage situations, I think it's built up a little equity for guys like Brandon Belt, guys like Brandon Crawford, guys like Kapler and Farhan in a short year to have this level of success.
What's your assessment of Joey Bart?
I think he needs more time, but I think this was the right move for him this year. I don't think it was it's really tough for us to tell and gauge how much work they're getting down at the extended camp. And I know they're playing their, you know, the scrimmage games, or they're getting in their simulated games, but you can't simulate catching Johnny Cueto in a playoff atmosphere baseball game, right? Or in a game that has leverage. So I think he's going to be okay. I think it's really important. I said this to Bill last week too, that I think it was really important for him to focus on making sure he was a good receiver, because the defensive catching woes early in the season were a lot of the reason he was called up, I think, that they felt like we've got to get him up here. Obviously, we had the service time debate, but we didn't see catcher's interferences like that once Joey Bart came up to the big league level. So I think he'll be in there next year. I think we're all excited to see Buster Posey come back and see how much he's got left in the tank, but I'm still excited about the prospect of Joey Bart, and maybe next year there's not as big of a spotlight on him to start the season. Maybe it takes a little pressure off, and he gets a full offseason and regular at-bats in spring to get into some rhythm.
Adam, I know you and I questioned a lot of things what Gabe Kapler did in the beginning of the year. You and I really talked some favorable things, but also some negative things. As the year progressed, I'm still questioning his thoughts of how to use the bullpen and things like that. What are your thoughts about how he finished up this year?
I think he absolutely, I think he grew as a manager, and I know it was a short period of time, but I think part of it is getting to know who his staff was and getting to know which buttons you could press in certain situations. And Bruce Bochy, you know, for all the great work Bruce Bochy did as a Giants manager, he wasn't necessarily the same guy in San Diego. Sometimes you've got to take your lumps and you've got to figure things out. And when Bruce Bochy was brought in here, I remember just kind of thinking, oh, he's a 500 manager from the Padres and had been to a World Series but hadn't really gotten anything done. I think they got swept by that Yankee team or only won one ballgame in 98. But, you know, I do think that as he's gotten to know his staff better, and I'm saying staff like his pitching staff, he's gotten to know his players and the talent on his team better. I think he has moved away a little bit from the straight analytics moves. And I'm with you. There are some questionable things, and I think there's always going to be things you question with pitching decisions from a manager. But as far as his grip of the team, I felt pretty confident in how he used his roster. Guys played themselves into roles. And to be honest, he did what he said he was going to do. When guys played themselves into a position where you couldn't take them out of the lineup, he left them in the lineup. We saw Dickerson hit 3 home runs, and the next day he was in there against a lefty, and I think he had a big RBI single or something the next day. So he's giving guys opportunities to play themselves into certain situations or into certain positions. We saw it with Crawford and Belt also, but I think he's still going to take some getting used to. It's a different system for some fans, but I'm encouraged by how the season was finished. The irony here, guys, is that he was a 500 manager in Philadelphia. We're sitting here on the last day of the season. Giants are 29-30, right? They didn't win 80% of their games or anything, but I think they have exceeded expectations, and I do think that his managing is a part of it.
Well, the old adage is, show me a good bullpen, and I'll show you a good manager. Show me a bullpen that stinks, and I'll show you a manager that stinks. And that's the way it works. And Bochy in San Diego always had great, great, great bullpens. And if you look when Bochy was a winning manager, it's when he had a great bullpen. So, but we'll see. It's a good analysis. You guys did a good analysis of Gabe, and he's growing in the job. There's no question about it. And there's still room to grow. And we'll see how he handles the pitching. Now, you talked about Dickerson, and you just mentioned that, and we kicked it around just a little bit with Bruce Jenkins. Ruff is in there today in the 3 spot. Lefty is starting for the Padres. Sounds like there'll be some lefty relievers coming in behind Morejon when he finally does come out. No Dickerson early. How do you feel about that? He's the hottest hitter.
Yeah, and that's where things here get a little bit frustrating, right? That's when you're like, man, it's a must-win game. That said, but Darren Ruff has been in there. He's done a hell of a job, I think, against left-handed pitching. We've also seen a couple of times this year where a team will go to a right-handed reliever after a left-handed starter, and you mentioned that there will probably be some left-handed bullpen guys coming in today. But we've seen both of those guys homer in the same game, and you sort of platoon that left field and got 2 homers out of the position, and you can get a great catch out of it if you make the right defensive replacement. I think in that game I was talking about, they actually used Basabe and left late in the game, so they went with like a 3-headed monster as their left field platoon. But this is where the analytics stuff can get to you a little bit, right? As a fan and as somebody watching the game thinking you've got to win, you go, this guy gives us the best chance to win, but because he's left-handed versus right-handed, he's not in the lineup. So I would still anticipate we see Dickerson at some point today. You've just got to – this is the way they've managed the season all year long. I don't know why you would stop now, except that it's a must-win game, but so were the last two. So, you know, it's funky, but I'm also – I've got enough confidence in Darren Ruff right now at the plate that I'm not super upset about it.
Adam, look in your crystal ball. Tell me your score today for the Giants game, as well as what is your two finalists in the World Series? American League winner against the National League winner. Who will be in the World Series? Two little crystal ball quotes from you.
Oh boy, I'm going to go with for the game today. I'm going to go with let's take the Giants winning and let's take it 6-3. How about that?
Okay.
I'll take Giants 6-3 today. Good pitching performance from Smiley and Gausman, and then they put up some runs. So I'll go 6-3 Giants, and my World Series teams are, well, if the Giants win today, that means Brewers are going down. So I'll take the Giants into the World Series,
wow,
beating the Tampa Bay Rays. How about that?
Wow. Look at you.
Throw that 4th one on the pile. Let's get another one.
I'm not betting that on Vegas, though, I hate to tell you.
Yeah, pretty good odds, though. You'd probably get a good bet on it if you did, though.
That might be the way to do it.
Well, we'll see. But it's, you know, again, you're only as good as today's starting pitcher. And
that's
the big story. And Drew Smiley's been terrific. And as we wrap it up here, we got about 45 seconds to go. There's that part of baseball that, you know, we've already clinched. We don't have to play all our guys, and you play your guys, and then the teams that want you to lose are kicking themselves because you're not playing all your guys. How do you feel about that?
Well, I love the way they've set this up. I think they did it intentionally to try to mimic what happened at the end of the 2008 season, where so many playoff scenarios changed in about a 10-minute window. It's also very European soccer. If you watch English soccer, they do this on the last day of the season so that, as you said, nobody can bench their starters. You've got to go for the win. You've got to play to win. So I think it keeps the level of competition and integrity, and I like it. I like the teams that have to win are scoreboard watching while other teams are playing simultaneously. You can't sit somebody down just because you think you've got it all sewed up. So Giants need to win, and they need the Cardinals to win today, so keep an eye on that game.
All right, Adam, have a great afternoon. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks, Adam.
I'll plan on talking to you guys next weekend, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes, let's do that. All right, take care. All right, that is Adam Copeland. Giants pregame continues right after this.